Welcome to the North Carolina Fusion for Life podcast, brought to you by Atrium Health Wake Forest Baptist. Our NC Fusion for Life podcast is focused on highlighting NC Fusion alumni. Since our mission is about creating intentional experiences through sport to positively impact people for life, we want to follow up with our former players and find out how those experiences are still impacting them today. We take time to discuss their sports journey, what they're doing now, and what lessons they've used from their sports journey to help them in the real world. Today, I'll be interviewing Cooper Vandermas Peeler. We hope you enjoy.
Hello.
Hey, Cooper. It's Scott. How are you?
Hey, Scott. How are we doing?
Doing great, man. Thanks for being on the podcast today.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So just to kind of give a little bit of background, Cooper, for our audience that listens, just wanted to kind of share about a little my kind of history with you, just so our families know. I've had kind of a deja vu moment recently where I was out at Joe Davidson Park in Burlington 20-some years ago, coaching you as what, 9-10 year old, at the fields there, as a coach for Burlington Soccer Club. And fast forward to about 3 to 4 weeks ago, and I'm watching you at Joe Davidson Park coaching a bunch of kids, right? So pretty wild to see that. And
I think
full circle, and obviously really excited to have you back in NC Fusion coming up this coming year. But I really want to focus today on really talking about our podcast is our For Life podcast, and it's about really looking at our folks that have played in our club or participated in our club, hearing what they're doing today and hearing about their sports journey, and then kind of how their sports journey has helped them in the quote real world. And so we'd love to kind of talk about that today. So I think the best place to start is, you know, as long or short as you want it to be, why don't you tell us about your youth soccer career journey?
So my youth soccer career journey, I would consider myself as one that people label as a late bloomer. So I didn't start playing until probably somewhere around elementary school, middle school. My teacher for my school, Miss Kelly, came out and said, "Hey, does he play soccer?" And my mom was like, "No, my parents, my family never had anybody who played sports, really." So I was the first one in the family to show a bit of athleticism, apparently. And she said, "You guys should get him into the soccer." So I went and played rec and couldn't stop scoring goals. So I tried out the Burlington Soccer Club. That was the next thing, where I had my best friend Marty, and you remember, we were taking trips around and enjoying ourselves. And I really remember loving the game at a youth level just because of the camaraderie and the trips. And, you know, you just feel like you're going somewhere at that point in your life. So that part of it was always a fun piece to look back onto. Mm-hmm. When I moved to Raleigh in high school, that was really when things started to change for me in terms of like going up a level and starting to think about soccer as maybe more than just a game to have fun with at recess. So I played in high school for Triangle Football Club in Castle, which is now NCFC. So anybody who knows youth soccer in North Carolina knows Castle, NCFC, huge club. So stepping into that gave me a lot of opportunities. I was able to make it into the U18 national team for a few camps and a few trips when I played for Castle. So that was massive for my youth career to be able to take steps like that and get some coaching from coaches who are now coaching in the MLS and in big places. So that was always a fun time for me as well, because there's some players who still play for the full men's national team that I keep up with, and I think that's pretty cool.
Oh, that's awesome.
So like Will Trapp was a great buddy of mine. Mm-hmm. Walker Zimmerman was a great friend. We stayed in the hotel rooms, and I mean, when you're on these trips and camps, you really don't do much but sit in the hotel with each other and go to the fields every once in a while. Yeah. So you form some pretty tight bonds just hanging out with guys over the years. So I really like to see them doing well. And when Walker gets up and scores a goal on a header, and you know, it just feels like something close to home when it's a huge country. So it's pretty cool that I've interacted with these guys and had that experience, which I think also translates to a bit of my coaching now, because I've had the experience at the top level as a player. So I kind of, when I played, I tried to take as much detail and absorb as much as I could, even in the meetings when I'm not playing, just trying to listen and figure out what the coaches are doing, what are they asking, what are their behavioral processes like, you know. So I really enjoyed kind of taking pieces from that too.
It's awesome. One of the things that I think back as your coach, and I try to relate it to you know, either my kids now or players that I've coached and helping families through that journey with their children. I remember when two things I remember about you. One is when I asked Coach Riley, Mike Riley, who was on our staff and was the Elon head coach when I was there, and his son was on the team with you. I remember asking him who he thought had the highest potential. And this was when you guys were U11, I believe. And he said Cooper. And I was kind of flabbergasted by that, just not to put you down or anything, but just simply there were a lot of kids on the team that were faster, you know, more athletic, more effective at the time. But I asked him why, and he said, because Cooper loves the ball. And you were just like a player that would show up before practice, juggling, working with the ball. After practice, you're still playing with the ball and just loving it. And I think that was a cool, you know, now looking at fast forwarding, that was a really, that's a great learning lesson even for me as a coach, learning to look at players. What are the characteristics that are really going to make someone successful? That was a cool moment. My second one was, I remember having conversations with your parents about the fact that you weren't aggressive. They were so frustrated that you weren't like an aggressive player. And I remember saying that just wait for his confidence to rise. That will help. And then there's a lot of physical things that can change. And really, by the time, I just remember around, I don't know, 13 or 14 for you, you all of a sudden became the fastest player on the field, right? And so confidence went through the roof and you became super aggressive and all those things. But again, another moment of like, for us as parents, we get to say, you know, just be patient. There's a lot of growing to come. And so that I love you hearing you talk about being a late bloomer, because I think that a lot of people lose hope early on. It is a long journey through the youth game, right? And so
definitely.
So you're a good example of that. That's awesome. Well, what in terms of that whole youth journey, so from, you know, starting out all the way through to playing in NCFC, I mean, talk about the next step, because obviously there was a next step for you in college.
Yeah. So the opportunities that I had with the national team really put me on a kind of a platform that some top schools were beginning to look at me. I was fortunate enough to have the assistant coach for Carolina, who was our club coach. So he had seen me on a daily basis. And Elmar Bolovich was the coach there at the time. He's a German guy who had really brought a lot of stability to the program. And UNC had made a couple of Final Fours, I remember. And just growing up as a North Carolina kid, North Carolina, UNC, Chapel Hill has a really prestigious ring to it to me. Just being around the culture of North Carolina, it always seemed like a place that people wanted to go, that people were interested in, and really seemed like a place that had both academics and soccer to offer. Because I know one of the questions I was heavily asked was, if you weren't playing soccer, would you still enjoy your time here at this school? Mm-hmm. And I think my answer would have been yes. I didn't have that scenario where I wasn't a player in college, so I couldn't tell you for sure if I would have, but I do think that Carolina had a little bit for everybody and a niche to offer for all kinds of life. I saw way more people in terms of like their styles, what they were interested in, and they all had friends, they all had communities, so I feel like that would have been a place where I could have found my home as well. Touring the campus was insane. We played Denver University was number one at the time, so I went on my official visit when they played Denver. Caleb Porter was the coach for them. and or sorry, it was Akron, not Denver. Akron. Akron, so yeah. Akron, Carolina, yeah. They had just won the national championship, and the stands were completely full. I think there were about 6,000 people in the stands, and I just had goosebumps the whole time. I was like,
it's good wow, sales
this
pitch.
Is so, this is so cool. Like, people come to watch these games. And one of the cool things about Carolina was that everybody obviously loves Carolina basketball, but they do a system with the students for earning points to get tickets to get them to other sporting events. So we had a ton of students in the crowds all the time just because they were trying to get their basketball tickets. And I don't care. They still cheered and supported us, yeah, whether they were there out of their own interests or not. It is what it is. But it was nice to have people there. And you go from having your youth soccer games with, you know, a line of parents on the field and you can hear every word to something where it's a bit more people and it feels like an actual atmosphere you've seen on the TV, which at that point you really feel like you've stepped it up a level.
Sure.
Right? So
sure.
That was pretty cool to go from that transition to seeing that, like, right in my backcourt, that people were, you know, I only drove 30 minutes up the road and then I'm in this new environment with this, essentially it's kind of like a professional environment. We train 6 days a week. You have games, you travel. The schoolwork on the side makes it a bit tougher, but that's the reality of being a student athlete.
That's right. That's right. And so you were at Carolina for 3 or 4 years?
Technically 4 years. The fourth year was when I redshirted. Okay. I blew out my MCL in the preseason and decided to sit that year out. I was pretty much out of commission for 2 to 3 months. So
got it.
That wasn't really an option. And then during that time, I decided I wanted to leave. I had a disagreement with the coaching staff, and we'll leave it at that, and decided it would be better for me to go somewhere else for a year to try to open up my mind and my experience and just enjoy something more positive. Mm-hmm. And I ended up transferring to Elon down the street.
Love it. Go Phoenix.
As you know, my family is a big Elon family. My mom teaches there. My dad has taught there and done some stuff in the past. Family lives around the area. But one of the heaviest pieces for me that drove me to Elon was my good friend Nathan Deal, who mm-hmm. played with me at Chapel Hill for a few years. Mm-hmm. He made the same transition and really loved it down here. So he said, come kick it for a year. We'll see how we do. And we had a really good year at Elon. We made the NCAA, we won the conference, and we made it to the conference tournament semifinals. So I think looking back at like how Elon has done across the years, that's considered a really good year for Elon.
Absolutely,
so,
yeah.
I've enjoyed the guys that I met during my short time there. I didn't really get to experience the university as a whole, being there like 6 months a year. So
yep.
I don't know if my Elon experience was the average one, but I did enjoy my time there with the guys.
Yeah.
Was glad that I made that transition in the end.
That's awesome. So college soccer career kind of comes to a close. What, talk about kind of what was next and coaching, et cetera.
So I did try to play professionally for a little while. I had some calls with some agents, and really for me, mental health was more important at the time, and I was just struggling. So I wanted to take a different path, and I felt like coaching was something that I had always enjoyed, and being removed from the game a little bit, but not at the same time entirely. So taking myself off the field, but being on the sidelines. I didn't want to give up soccer, but I didn't necessarily want to keep playing. Mm-hmm. So coaching, and honestly, you were a really heavy piece of me getting involved with that. I think it was the game at the Greensboro Dynamo I was playing, and my parents were in the stands. And after the game, my dad had ran into you, and he was like, oh, Scott said if you ever wanted to start coaching, you know, just shoot him a message. And I was like, oh, well, that would be cool. So I always thought of that in the back of my head as like an option for, you know, you being a foot in the door for me, already knowing me, my personality. I didn't have to start on square one. So what was intimidating was coming in the office when I met you and Mark Simpson sitting there in the chair. And I hadn't expected Mark to be there. And I love Mark. He's one of my favorite. I would call him a mentor for me. I tried to learn as much as I could from him. during my time there, but he was so stern and just sitting there looking at me the whole time. And I was like, oh man, this guy means business.
He does mean business.
Yeah, but that was awesome. Some of the accountability is huge for him. And I think that's huge for your own personal growth, is having goals and being able to stick to them. And he's one of the reasons I'm really excited about getting back involved with Fusion, is his ability to influence my growth and the growth of the program that we work with.
It's awesome. It's a good transition. So obviously now, you know, you spent some time coaching in Twins Fusion for a period of time, and then took a break, and then back at Burlington Soccer Club coaching and running the Youth Academy program now. So now, as for our listeners to know, Burlington Soccer Club is becoming part of NC Fusion this coming year. And so as we're integrating the Burlington staff and yourself into NC Fusion, first question would just be, what are things that, and you've kind of alluded to it, but what are things that you've enjoyed already about that process for as a coach and as a director? And then secondly, what are you most looking forward to as a coach and even for the players as part of this merger?
So for me, the first piece that I really have enjoyed so far is the attention to the logistics, the details, the goal setting. Speaking with Patrick Bridges, who's in charge over there of the Junior Academy, obviously you know that, but I really liked Patrick, the way he's approaching it, trying to get my opinion as well, not just coming in and saying, here's what we need. It's more of like a dialogue between the two of us. So I've enjoyed that it's not kind of just you guys coming in and taking over, more to speak. It's us merging together. So it actually feels like a merger and less of like a takeover. So I'm really excited for the players to be able to have more opportunities at a higher level. We've already talked about adding a U10 red team at the Junior Academy, which would be our top U9s, top U10s who could play U11 and play U10 Academy, which is something that I think, looking back on this year, would have been fantastic to have for our top U10s. So the opportunities and the availability of different matchups, different games, even adding some friendlies against NCFC with the top U10s last weekend, you could see the level that the other academies are at is very high. So I would like to keep us against these teams who are pushing the level, which I think you guys have access to. You're already in the situation to get games with. You have great facilities. A lot of the organizational piece I think we struggled with is getting fields, getting the amount of space, getting the ability to have events with these teams instead of one-off events with smaller clubs where we're only playing a few games at a time. So that's something I'm really looking forward to, is having the bigger events where you can kind of see on a scale where you're at and what you need to look at to improve on.
It's awesome. It's really great. What, just to kind of wrap things together, so I'm sure that, you know, you mentioned your mental health. What would you say one have been your biggest struggles kind of through the first as a player and maybe even as a coach, and then what kind of how have you used some of the experiences you've had as a player to help you now as a coach?
So the first thing that comes to mind for mental health is staying positive. I think anybody who's a soccer player is going to experience periods where either they're not playing well, they're on the bench, they're hurt. But learning to stay positive in that moment and see what you want in the future, and not just the fact that you're stuck in a little piece of where you don't want to be right now. I let myself get too bogged down with either getting on the bench, getting subbed off. Control what you can control, and if you can't control it, try to at least remain positive. And I think I've seen examples of people who did better than me with that, and probably people who did a little bit worse. I wasn't the best or the worst at it, but I do believe that the people with more positive, who came off the bench with a, hey, whatever, I'm just going to do the best I can, they ended up with better access to these opportunities as they came along. And so for me as a player, like the lessons that I learned from being a player into a coach, is I kind of talked about it already, but allowing people to be late bloomers in the academy, especially. I try to talk to parents about the development like line is not exponential for these kids. Mm. Sometimes it looks like a very, very soft line, and then all of a sudden it shoots up. Mm-hmm. So allowing kids to develop on their own time, at their own pace, and getting them in skill levels where they can play with kids around their own skill gap. Because I think if you're an 8-9-year-old kid and you're tossed into an environment where you're out of place, it could feel like you don't want to do this anymore.
Sure.
But yeah, if you're with kids and you're learning and you're maybe struggling together, but then you see how you can grow together and improve, that will just keep your love for the game. So I think I want to instill a love for the game first, and then, you know, the skills will come after.
Sure.
Get the kids to love the ball instead of, you know, just being at training and talking to their friends. I think you talked about me loving the ball as much as I love being at practice. So mm-hmm. Yep. You couldn't get me to stop kicking the ball against the garage door.
Yep.
Or I remember I had a little wood pile in the backyard, and I used to just try to curl it around. and I'm hitting the side of the house, and my dad's coming out on the call, and he's like, "Dude, would you stop hitting free kicks against the house?" And I'm like, just learning how the ball curled off my foot, I was like, "Oh, I can make it move in the air. That's pretty cool." So the more that the kids can learn and experience the game themselves, the more they'll feel like they can help themselves too, which is, I mean, that's a life skill for me. You're going to learn to struggle through things and get better at them. So not just giving up on, you know, if your first touch isn't great, if you can't pass the ball, if you can't shoot, you know, just working on that, working at it, you know. It's the same thing if you're not good at a math problem. You can get better at it. You just have to decide you're going to, right?
Yeah. Love that, man. Love that. Well, I'm super excited to have you again back on NC Fusion staff and being a great role model and coach for young players, and looking forward to having your input on the coaching staff and sharing your ideas. And I know that you've got Mark's talked about it, just your brain for the game, just how much you do focus on the details is super important. But more than anything, just like you said, instilling that passion with kids, having them love the game is really what's going to take them far. Not being pushed, but rather them really pulling parents along, pulling coaches along, which is awesome. So, but man, I really appreciate you being on the podcast today, and look forward to working with you more this year.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me. Definitely looking back to getting involved with the guys with Fusion, and I'm excited.
Awesome, man. Well, thanks so much. You have a good one.
All right. Cheers, Scott.
Let's say bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the NC Fusion for Life podcast, sponsored by Atrium Health Wake Forest Baptist. It would mean a lot to us if you would subscribe to our podcast on your favorite streaming platform and share with others. You can also engage with us on the social media platforms of Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. We hope you have enjoyed today's podcast, and we hope that it helps to forward our mission to create intentional experiences through sport to positively impact people for life. Go Fusion!